Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo. As parents, we know raising kids is the opposite of neat and tidy. Each day brings wins, losses, and valuable lessons. I pray that every time you're here, we will grow and learn, maybe even laugh and cry together in the midst of our beautiful mess.
Our family has grown. Welcome to the world, Hannah baby. Introducing a new collection, Hannah Soft, made with Tencel. It's so breathable, with stretchy comfort for all of baby's first moments. And it's cool and gentle on their skin all year round. Entrusted Hannah quality for your most precious gift. Hannah Soft, made to last. Shop now at hannahanderson.com.
Okay, party people, not only do we bring you hopefully some wisdom and hopefully some entertaining conversations here at Pardon the Mess, I'm also going to give you a little PSA. It's Father's Day this weekend. So if you forgot, you got time. It's Thursday. You've got till Sunday. You can go get that card, write him a heartfelt note. You can get him, some swim trunks from Costco, whatever your guy would enjoy. Or maybe it's a father figure in your life, a father-in-law, your own father, or a mentor. There's so many guys out there fathering our kids and being super impactful on all of our lives. And so let's give them a little shout out and give them a little love. Speaking of, Ron would want me to tell you, my husband, that he's a musician now. Did you know that? You know, he is a communicator by profession in the airline industry, but if you asked him what he did, he would say, I'm a musician. What about that? He taught himself the drums over the pandemic, and he's now in a band called Pocket Full of Change. You may sense the sarcasm in my voice because I thought it was a real joke, and then it turns out he was serious. So we got merch arriving by the day. We've got more equipment. The entire playroom has been taken over by this band, and he is having the time of his life. But you know what? I'll take it. The guy's happy. He's not doing anything illegal in this midlife crisis, and it brings him a lot of joy. So I love Ron DeFeo. He's a fantastic dad to our girls, and they wouldn't want anyone else. And I do believe God made him specifically to father my two girls. That's an obvious statement, but I love looking at all the intricacies of their relationship and seeing by design how that works. So I'm incredibly grateful for dads. And we've got quite the dad on today. We've got Benjamin Watson and his wife, Kirsten Watson. They are dear friends of mine. We go way back to, 15 plus years ago when Kirsten was an intern at Chick-fil-A. And they then got married, these two UGA athletes, and then they went into 16 years of the NFL. And that's not it, folks. They have seven children. That's right, seven children. And they're still alive. They're still married. And so I know you're curious already to hear what they're going to talk about. But I will tell you, once we get past the football and the catching up and the silliness, we do get into some non-negotiables that Benjamin talks about are key for them to stay on the same page as husband and wife and as a mom and dad. So I pray that you'll listen to that. I was challenged as a mom to think about, what are our non-negotiables? What are things that are just rules in our house? And then what are the things we will negotiate on that we will discuss as the kids grow? So enjoy them. I know that you'll love them, and have a happy Father's Day for those dads out there. Well, hello, Watsons. Welcome to Pardon the Mess. How are you?
We are fantastic.
We're good.
Good to be with you. Excited for you. Podcast.
Superficial sports-related questions up front, but I do want to say, let the good listeners know if they don't already love you, who you are, where you are professionally, personally, just a little bit about you.
We are just two parents trying to make it, to be honest with you, trying to survive. Like most parents are. I'm sure we'll get into it, but we're the parents of seven, ages 14 down to four.
Always, and a dog, new dog that's 1 year old.
We should probably talk about that in the podcast too, the dog scenario. So
About that real quick, because Kirsten's still smiling. You didn't, like, I thought she might drop kick it on week one. What's happening?
Well, I'm too stubborn to give in so quickly. So I really know that the dog is too much. I knew that it wasn't wise in the beginning, and yet I still did it on behalf of my kids growing up with the dog. whatever that dream was, but it is a lot. I knew this and I still, I mean, then he just looks at me in such a sweet way and I melt, and then he does something and I'm like ready to kick him out. So I'm kind of all over the place.
Who's harder, your twin four-year-olds or?
We have three toddlers. We have three toddlers. I tell them all to get off the couch and stop jumping on the couch. I tell them all to stop biting. I tell them all the same things. So it's really terrible. I love it.
Pee in the toilet, not in the house. We tell them all the same stuff. Yeah, all the same stuff.
How do y'all describe what you're doing in life right now? You are raising kids, but both of you have your hands and hearts and heads in a lot of things. So if I said, Benjamin, what do you do? What would you say?
I survive, Courtney. I survive, and then I try to thrive, and I'm trying to discover. I will say that I'm in a mode of discovery and still a bit of transition. Mm-hmm. Played NFL football for 16 years and got done, you know, right when I turned 40. And so trying to reimagine myself at this age is interesting. But I will say I have a lot more clarity than I did a couple years ago. So I'm trying a lot of things. I think one of the things that Kirsten, and a lot of people go through transition. I'm not the only one. A lot of people go through transition in their careers or whatever it may be. They may lose a job. They may decide to go a different route. But Kirsten has been really supportive in saying, try this, try that. And so I do some sports broadcasting. I do some writing. I do some speaking. I try to take care of a dog, which is not going very well. I'm learning about dogs. So I'm trying to be a veterinarian when she's not here.
Oh, a veterinarian.
So a lot of different things, but I'll say that right now I'm in the middle of kind of a rediscovery process, but it's good. It's been good.
I like that. I think that's a good way to say a midlife crisis. I mean, you're not there yet, but that is like,
no, I am. I mean, if the average age is 75, right? Let's say 76. I don't know what it is. And if you're 42, then that puts you at midlife.
Yes.
So let's just be honest. Everybody who's listening who's in their early 40s, you are in your midlife. Whether you like it or not.
Rod and I were reading a book called Halftime. And we were walking around the neighborhood. And I was like, what do we want to do with the second half? And he's like, Court, it's the last third. We're older than that.
Yeah, let's just be real. I mean, the sports analogies can go. But we are definitely at you know, Lord willing, the beginning. Of, I mean, you know, honestly, you're only as old as when you expire and when nobody knows the day or the hour.
So you're young.
I could be like super old. I'm probably super old rather than super young. I mean, most people ain't, you know, we ain't got no Methuselahs around here.
Kirsten, how would you answer that question? What are you up to these days? Or I know that you're more than what you do. That's more about who you are, but tell us what you're professionally into these days.
Yes. So professionally, what am I into? I am actually now, we are directors for the NFL for Pro Athletes Outreach, and I'm taking more of a role with the women in what was my life for a long time, for over 16 seasons. And so working with women in that sphere is very specific. And so I'm not too old to still give some advice. So
I love it. You're perfect for that.
Yeah. So that's what I'll be spending most of my time with. And then, you know, I've never parented these people before. So I'm just learning every day what to do as each one of them needs something different. So that takes most of my brain, I feel like, power. And then, you know, we have the dog. And so I'll just be telling people about loving Jesus and hoping to keep people healthy and alive. That's all I'm doing.
That's a good goal. Don't our parenting goals change? We're like, if they're not in jail and they're alive, we have won. Folks,
yes,
you are both UGA grads. Is there a college that is off limits for the kids? And it better not be one that's orange and blue that I love.
Florida, definitely not Florida.
The college that's off limits is the one that expects me to pay full tuition.
There you go.
That's the one that's off limits. And so I told my kids, you know, I'm a bulldog. We're both bulldogs through and through. They're being raised in a bulldog house, the house of back-to-back national champions.
Oh, goodness gracious.
But all that being said, if there's a college that is willing to pay for them to come, then I will, heaven forbid, paint, you know, what is Auburn's mascot? They got like two or three of them.
Oh, hush your mouth.
I'll pick a mascot and put it in the driveway if Auburn's willing to pay.
Our battle cry is War Eagle. Our mascot is the Tigers. And my kids are not allowed to go to Alabama, but the rest of it is fine. It's all fine.
Man, if Alabama gives them a scholarship,
we'll have
I'll buy an elephant. and ride it to the games.
That's amazing. Okay, Benjamin, tell me, which would you prefer or which feels more doable? A game in the NFL where you're physically beaten by humans in helmets, which sounds awful, or the weekend alone parenting your 7 kids?
How old am I in each of these scenarios?
Does it matter?
It does matter because the amount of medication that I need to take for the former.
Okay, let's go back 5 years. 5 years.
Okay, yeah. I would say being at home with the kids, honestly. We have good kids. We have good kids. Two of them are, 4-year-old identical twin boys. Each of those adjectives adds another layer of stress. But the top five, as we call them, I mean, are pretty self-sustaining. And honestly, I'll take them places, seven kids, and they'll be okay. And I'll say this, I think that part of our, and a lot of this comes from Kirsten, but we have a very, we call it K order, like it's chaos, but it's order. And there's been a lot of training and order that has been instilled in them to even when we leave them with a babysitter, like they know what time they need to go to bed. They understand all those sorts of things. They're kids, so that they'll try to test the system. They'll buck against you every now and then. But I would say being with the kids for a weekend is something that I've done, and I'd rather do that. Or not, it's easier. It doesn't pay as well. That's the problem. but it's easier than going out there and playing a game against grown men. And the great thing is I'm able to actually walk the next day.
That's a big part.
Whereas in the NFL, I can't walk for 2 days after.
Wow.
Saving money on exterior wall lights now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com. Save big money
at Menards. Well, there's a lot of things I love about y'all that we've known each other since Kirsten was an intern back in the day at Chick-fil-A, and it's just been fun to watch y'all grow, and you're still the same that you've always been, which is so cool. You've definitely matured. You don't look much older, but I've watched y'all grow and grow and grow, and it's just amazing because I thought you were fantastic from the start. But one of the things I love about y'all is you're super intentional with your parenting, and Kirsten has an order that I don't have, and she has a yes is my yes kind of, I would call her drill sergeant, but there's a lot of great things going on with y'all. So talk to parents that they want to honor God, they want to grow their faith with their kids, but they're in survival mode and they just don't know how to start. Like, how do we even get ahead of this and have some intentional, and I know that's a huge question, but if you said, where do I even start with that conversation with my spouse, what would you say?
You mean being intentional with your spouse about parenting?
Or intentional with your kids about where do you even start with these ground rules? Like, I know you said one time, it was like 4:30. It's like, you can't come back in. Like, there's snacks on the porch. Like, you're outside. Like, there's rules. You know what I mean? And y'all aren't just making it up. You have some conversations. So, yeah, with a spouse, but also just with your family in general, how y'all set some of those intentional guidelines.
Yeah. You know, I'm always cautious when I say what we do with our family, because a lot of it has to do with my bent and our personalities together and then our situation. So if Benjamin was gone and I was with all four of the kids, like, there had to be some way for me to feel like we're getting stuff done. We were homeschooling. So some of that just kind of developed over time to make life easier for everyone. So these are not like it was trial and error, honestly, Courtney. And a lot of the stuff that they do now is just, we've continued as we added kids, just because we added kids. So I think one thing we looked at, I think very early on, was wanting us to have time for ourselves, between the two of us. And so very early on, like, we decided when a child was born, how long they could stay in our room. And when we would move them, I mean, I think that was the first major decision we made in terms of intentionally parenting together, was, you know, children in our bed, children in our room, and what time bedtime was. And so even though Benjamin would come home later in the evening and have fewer hours with them, it was still important for them to go to bed at 7:30. And we have not changed that. I mean, that we shoot for 7:30 still now with all seven of them. And we have someone going into high school. So, yeah, so it's like, you go in your room. You can read for another 30 minutes or whatever, but the little ones, you need to go to bed. And we do that so I can actually be an adult, like with, and have a conversation. And we just stuck to it. So those are little things that were important to us that we have continued on regardless of where we are.
Do you see my chin on the floor? I'm like, hold up. How old is Grace? She's going into freshman year?
Yeah, she is.
She goes 14. In her room at 7:30.
Well, so here's the difference. Grace is doing ballet. So she doesn't get out of ballet till 9:30. So there's that. Okay. So we have to go pick her up. But our 13-year-old is in the room at 7:30. Now she does her homework. She reads. She's up finishing her stuff. But the idea is that we're not, like, during the week, like, we are off duty. Like, I love you, but don't want to see you till the morning time. Like, come in my room.
Game changing. Like, I just think many parents are like, what do you mean we can do that? And I think in my life, I found that the kids take over and they start running the house and you have to kind of like do a chest bump to be like, we are the parents. Like, I am the mom. And so it's like and I imagine with seven kids, that can happen pretty quickly. So Benjamin, what are some thoughts that you would tell to parents just starting out that really want to be intentional, but feel like they're being bulldozed by these cute humans?
Yeah. Just realize who pays the bills. And you know, quite honestly, I mean, you're the one feeding them, so you have a right to tell them whatever you want to tell them, as long as you're not hurting them. Seriously, I think that there's kind of two buckets, maybe three, that I think about parenting in. One of them is kind of your non-negotiables, the same thing we talk about when it comes to choosing a spouse. Like, these are the things that I want my spouse to be, and I'm not willing to compromise on those things. And I think as parents, it's important to decide what those are. I mean, some of the things for us have been, you know, being in church on Sunday, or at least now it's watching church on Sunday to some capacity. Like, there needs to be some sort of spiritual teaching that's going on in your house. And that's a non-negotiable. I mean, as kids get older, it might be other things. Like, are you allowed to play, your sports teams or your activities on Sundays or Wednesdays or whatever it is? Are we going to try to have dinner together? Might be a non-negotiable. Now, at some point, the kids are old enough to wear, they might be doing ballet and you might have to move dinner earlier, or they might just not make it some days. But like, these are some of our non-negotiables as a family, things that we believe. Like, we don't want our kids playing video games during the week. That's like a non-negotiable. We're just not doing that. Certain types of language that you're going to use in your house, certain things that they're going to be able to watch, certain activities that you want to do as a family. Once a year, we want to go on a vacation. That's like a non-negotiable. We're going to find time to go on a vacation every year, whatever it may be. And then I think there's also the things that are maybe preferences or things that may adjust over time. What are you going to have for dinner? How many times are you going to eat vegetables a week? as the kids get older and they want to wear different clothes, like, you know, what are some things that we can change here or there? But I think the most important thing is to have those conversations as a couple. Discipline. I left out discipline. How are you going to discipline your kids? These are some of the things that parents, that we have argued over and that other parents have argued over. One parent wants to spank the kid. The other parent wants to put him in timeout and give him a lollipop. You got to decide which one works better for you. And understand that you and the spouse, the other parent, are going to be on one accord with things and be in agreement. And you're not going to allow yourself to be pit against each other.
Yeah.
Because just like you, when you were a kid, kids are very clever and they will, you know, try to pit you against each other. But when they see that sort of unity with parents, it speaks volumes to them about their own identity. Studies have shown that kids' self-esteem and self-concept so many times is tied to what they see from their parents, how their parents communicate with each other, and the atmosphere and the tone that the parents set in the house. And so that all starts really with conversations between the two parents about what it's going to look like.
I would say the biggest thing is we come in with two voices, two opinions about whatever issue, but we leave out with one voice. So like our teamwork and our, you know, like I may have to give in on something, Benjamin may have to give in on something, but once we walk out of that door and we present it to the kids, we are together. It is one voice. This is how it is. And if there's anything that needs to be changed, we will go discuss it and present it to you. So I think that's the biggest piece.
Yeah. And I think that for me, we're trying to do it on the fly versus, you know, it's like the kids can wait. We think we got to give the consequence or have the answer right there. And I think that in the past, Ron and I have been guilty about discussing that in front of them when, like, you're right. Like, if we took 2 minutes to go behind the door and discuss it before we came out, that's such huge advice. Awesome. Okay. You know, I always have business ideas. I've had a business idea for you. Can we do the Watson boot camp, kind of like Super Nanny, and we just ship children to you, like dog training?
No, I wish. I'm looking for that for the twins and the dog. I know you can do that for a dog, but
you can ship them to my dad though. He'll whoop them into shape.
Mom, today, it's harder than ever to instill the godly confidence our daughters so desperately need. Helping moms raise confident daughters is the resource you've been looking for to help you develop and keep a trusted connection with your daughter while helping her to be confident in all that God has created her to be. These courses were developed by Tara Mattson, a licensed marriage and family therapist for over 20 years, and are meant to help you have a great one-on-one date with your daughter each month. I've got Larson here, my daughter, my second daughter, and she's going to tell you what's included in the course.
Each Helping Moms Raise Confident Daughters course includes 8 video lessons for moms like you, giving behind-the-scenes coaching on mental, emotional, and physical world of your girl, conversation guides to foster deep discussions between you and your daughter, and a downloadable journal to spark more intimate connection between you, your girl, and God.
Choose your course today and get a leg up on talking to your girl about important topics like her relationship with God, her changing body, and even her identity. Currently, there are courses for moms of daughters from 2nd through 8th grade. When it comes to raising confident and godly girls like you, Lars, you are the right mom for the job, and you don't have to go it alone.
Visit cpguides.org to select your course today. That's cpguides.org.
Okay, I hate that I have to say this, but I do get a weird bit of joy when I feel like somebody else is dropping the ball. So let's talk about where you're failing just for a moment. I remember, Kirsten, we were at dinner one time and you said that you and Ben were on a fight right before you got on stage. And there was this weird comfort that was like, they fight too? Yes. So tell us what's messy. Like, you don't have to like throw your kids under the bus or tell anything we don't need to know. But is there an area of parenting that feels kind of messy that y'all are wrestling through as a couple right now?
Oh, it ain't the kids, it's us. I mean, you know, what I was going to say, even when you were talking about, you know, speaking with your husband and not going, you know, having the conversation away from the kids. I mean, I think one thing we still struggle with is having heated discussions in front of the kids. Now, it's good for kids to see their parents have those types of discussions, but it's also good to see their parents make up. And one thing we've talked about is we need to allow the kids to see that we've moved past certain things so that they don't think that we never, you know, ask forgiveness or we never forgive each other. We need to demonstrate the totality of really the human experience and relationships in front of them so that they understand that. And so that's one area that we still don't do very well. And yes, we do argue and then go out and speak. It's shameful to say, but it happens.
It happens. I think anyone who knew us in college
would expect it
because we could never be on an opposite team playing like a game, a silly board game or whatever, because we're highly competitive. And Benjamin has a way of just like saying the wrong right thing to get me ready to go. So I think that the messy part is that we're doing more work together. Like, we've always worked together. And I enjoy working with him, but I do think that has brought on our own human challenge of how we see things and how we approach different things. But also, like, I feel like the enemy has just used, you know, little comments and little things to stir up bigger issues. And so I think that, to me, feels like the biggest battle as we do more things, whether it's when we were doing the podcast or if we're speaking together, or I mean, even doing this right now, it's like, okay, Lord, don't let the enemy do one little thing this morning that's going to make me like not want, you know? And so I think that's what we're constantly aware of as we're talking more together and working more together, you know, how, you know, the enemy would love more that we would just not like each other.
And what I love about y'all is you don't let it sit for too long. I mean, I'm not in your home, but I know in Kirsten and our friendship, there's been times that you've said something super, super truthful in love and it wasn't ugly to me, but you're like, can we go back to that? Like, you don't let people, and definitely your husband, just like wallow in sin and be like, this is so fun to disagree. And that's just who we are. Like, I know that y'all are both actively trying to seek out the right thing, even if it's on the other side of the speaking engagement or the next week when you've cooled down. So I appreciate the way y'all lead in that.
Yeah, I think it's the thing is, you know, we all have our own personalities and our own way of dealing with conflict. And it can sit depending on your personality. And so I think that that's why you always have to go back to what's your true commitment. And we talk a lot about having wise counsel, and it's been difficult, I think, throughout the NFL and moving around to find that trusted wise counsel. We have, you know, some people that we can reach out to, but there are times where we feel like we're isolated, or we feel like we're kind of in a desert and there's nobody there to provide us any water. And so we have to keep seeking it. And there can be fatigue that sets in with parenting and with marriage, where you get in a rut and it's the same rut you've been in before, and it can be exhausting. And so I think the encouragement there is, think about how it feels when you get on the other side. Mm-hmm. Sometimes things seem to be so desperate and so dry and just so terminal, honestly, in a relationship. And then you come together, you have an agreement, somebody asks for forgiveness, and you meet with some counsel, and all of a sudden there's new life. Mm-hmm. And what the enemy wants you to believe is that the feeling that you're in is permanent and it's never going to get any better.
Yeah.
And that's all that you can see. And so fighting through that, I think, is something that we've had to learn, sometimes the hard way. But it's not perfect, but it's worth it.
Yeah. I'm so thankful that counseling isn't taboo, that it's like, who's your counselor? It's not, have you been to counseling? It's like, what's your counselor saying?
Yeah.
I love that.
Help me.
Are they taking new clients?
That's right. Can you take all the DeFeos, all four of us? Okay, Kirsten, you had a book come out recently called Sis, Take a Breath, and you know how much I love it. But I was looking at one of the final chapters, and I just think so many moms can relate to this that are listening. But you said, like you, I wear a lot of different hats: wife, mom, editor, podcaster, Bible study teacher, cook, lover, fighter, teacher, griever, overcomer. And then it goes down to say, whatever I'm doing at any given moment, I can only find peace and know my next steps when I listen for my Father's voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is just a huge statement that we could spend 30 minutes on, but I do know that about both of you. So I guess encourage the listeners, like, how do I find peace in the midst of many kids, many jobs, many responsibilities? And I guess my question would be, is listening to the Father's voice, is that just come natural to you your whole life? Is that a muscle that you built? How would you encourage people that maybe that's new for them, is to find God's voice in the midst of all these things?
Yeah. No, that does not come naturally. I feel like it's getting better. I'm working that muscle a lot better. And just figuring out what I'm hearing, and realizing that if it's condemning, if there's certain things I'm like, oh, that's not the right place to go. And I think sometimes when we live in a world where we have to perform so much, where there's all these expectations on us, I think it's easy for us to listen to the world's voice. And what I continue to come back to is that is not a firm foundation, because it's all the mark is always moving. Like, I could always do more. I could always be this, and I never feel satisfied. And I know that if that's how I'm feeling, then I'm not listening to the right voice. Mm-hmm. And so that comes from my own being in the Word and the Spirit revealing stuff to me. But it also comes from having really great friendships, having, you know, obviously a good relationship with my husband, who's also, when I can't hear the voice, like Lord sends people to give it to me, you know? So sometimes it's not audible from him, but it's like, you know, you'll call and they'll be like, hey, Kirsten, I just wanted you to know that. And you say something and you have no idea that it was exactly how I needed to hear, what I needed to hear. Same thing with Benjamin, will say something, an encouragement or a challenge. I'm like, gosh, yes, that's it. And so it's more so about being able to hear when and how the Lord is speaking. And so it happens in the mundane. It happens when I'm, you know, getting ready to do something. It happens when I'm washing dishes or taking out clothes. And I wish I was holy enough to be like, every time I take out, you know, fold my kids' clothes, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for this baby. And I'm like, no, it's not that. But it is more so like these moments when I'm doing things that feel like they don't matter. It's like, I know that, it's like saying, like, I see you, you're seen. This is important. No one else
so
may
much
notice.
Sweeter. I feel like he's so much sweeter than he. I love that you said condemning, and that was something a mentor told me early on, was condemning versus convicting. And those are two very different things. And I think too often I've listened to the condemnation and just thought he is like a mean policeman and he's just slapping me on my wrist again. And it feels different when it's convicting, but encouraging. And oh, I'm so thankful that you said the repeating part, because it happens all the time. And it's awesome to have friends like you that you can trust, that know that they're not going to lead you away from scripture or away from the truth, but towards a healthy place. Okay, Benjamin, I was laughing at myself. I wrote this question this morning and thought it was very funny. You haven't seen it. Hey, Benjamin, you have a new book. I'm just going to, you know, you it's like say your editor was like, hey, Benjamin, you can write on anything you want. You could write on growing a garden or something like gun control. Like either of those sound good and you're like, perfect.
Where do I live? First of all, am I in Texas or am I in like Massachusetts?
No, and you're like, okay, how about pro-life? That seems not complicated, doesn't ruffle feathers, but you do have a new book. And I just listened to your conversation with Jamie Ivey and it was so good. I'm literally going back to play it because I think this topic, we can't go into the whole thing, is heated, it's complicated, it's divisive. And I'm really proud of you for taking on an issue that's important to you guys. So let's dive in a little bit. What is this book about? And before we had, it's not super political. Tell us what your motivation was and what it's about.
Yeah. So many different things. I think my next book is going to be like, you know, 7 steps to becoming a better father or man or football player or something like that.
A little bit lighter.
That people might actually want to talk about. But this book is called The New Fight for Life. Roe, Race, and a Pro-Life Commitment to Justice. And really the crux of the book is what's next after Roe v. Wade was overturned on June 24th, 2022. We're almost a year away from that now. And for so many people who are on either side of that discussion, pro-life, not pro-life, pro-choice, that was a big day for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. And part of my reason for writing the book was really just to give kind of a game plan or a handbook really for people who call themselves pro-life. What's next? What does it mean for pro-life advocacy in a post-Roe world? In the book, I talk about, you know, what it means practically, meaning that now the states decide whether they're going to have legal limits on abortion or allow abortion unfettered. But even more than that, so many people have done so much work, whether they were advocates, whether they were in medicine or in the faith community, people who have served at pregnancy resource centers to get to this point. And now I truly believe that we have to address some of the systemic issues that are driving women and men to make these decisions. 76% of women who are abortion determined say that they would prefer to parent if their circumstances were different. And when you ask them, obviously it's relationships with the fathers, but it's also things like adequate and reliable housing. It's wage equality. It's you know, food insecurity. It's education. It's all these sorts of things that we sometimes in the pro-life movement decouple from the conversation of pro-life. And the whole point of the book is saying, look, now if we want to really address this issue holistically, womb to tomb, we have to be willing to delve into some things that have been made political, but really aren't. When you talk about human flourishing and wanting people to have an opportunity to live their quote unquote best life and have an opportunity for life, we have to address some of these inequalities that have happened systemically for a very, very long time. And so the book is coming out June 20. It's right around the corner. It's right here, actually. It's available for pre-order and order, depending on when you hear this. But The New Fight for Life has been what we have been really talking about, what I have been involved in really in some of my work. As I mentioned before, in the transition, some of my work has to do with working for and with organizations that support life.
I love it. And I love you both have a way of taking really complicated topics and boiling it down to simple, not simple, but understandable. I think sometimes I put my head in the sand on a various number of issues because I don't fully understand it. So that's why I loved that conversation with Jamie. I'm like, no one's asking these questions. No one's having these conversations at an intellectual level. and the gloves down and just learning. I just want to learn. And so I'm super pumped. Already pre-ordered, ready to get it in my mailbox.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Can't wait. That's one. I know you're going to have trouble selling these because you're no big thing.
At least I can sell one. I mean, nobody wants to talk about this, but at least I'm going to have one. I appreciate that.
I got you. Okay, Kirsten, I'm going to let you now. You could roast him. You could tell me what the messiest part of his life is. Or because Father's Day is this weekend, you could affirm that guy because I know you'd love him. What is something uniquely that Benjamin brings to the table and to fatherhood that you just so appreciate?
I think, well, there's a lot, but one thing that kind of covers all the things that make is just super admirable is that he's willing to do the hard things. Mm-hmm. So whether it's with our girls and talks around, you know, their period or bras or whatever, or if it's around our boys and we're talking about sex and boobs and, you know, all these things that kids have a hard time talking to their dads about. Benjamin's willing to step in and give awesome advice and wisdom and perspective and with me. I think it's important for our kids to know they can always come to me or come to Benjamin, but they can come to us together. And I think I just really admire the fact that he's willing to have the hard conversations with them. By hard, I mean uncomfortable or, you know, just not things you want to talk about with your kids maybe, or, but he's just willing to go there. And I think me being a talker and, you know, I like to talk things out and talk, you know, put things on the table. And Benjamin is not that way so much with our kids, but he is, even though he may be uncomfortable. So I think that our kids will be our huge benefactors of a dad that wants to hear what they think and what's going on and wants to be open, even if it feels uncomfortable to have really tough conversations. And I think that's one main thing when it comes to our kids. I mean, there's a lot, but I think that will take them further than they know to know that they can come to both of us and know that we love them and just want to talk to them about what's going on. So that's the main thing.
Thanks. I love it. All right. Good job, Benjamin. She does love you. Look at that. Okay. So finally, I'm going to link to all the things, but if people want more of your wisdom and to connect with you more, where can they find you other than SEC Network? And besides knocking on your door, I know you've got several resources, but where would you like them to go connect with you?
Yeah, they might not be SEC fans, which is sad, but.
Look, let me tell you this. Larson's dream has been to go to Clemson. She just found out like last week that it's not in the SEC and she's like, it's off. I'm like, ours, ACC is great too.
Not so much. I'm just kidding.
Just let her down just like that. We have a website, The Watson 7, all spelled out, thewatson7.com is where you can find all things Watson, and as well as social media, obviously on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
I'm not on Twitter, so don't look for me. I'm just on Instagram because I don't do all the things.
Yeah, she don't do all the tweets.
Yeah, but, no.
Yeah, that's where you can find us.
I think people are looking for a fight on Twitter, so it's probably wise. We'll handle some of the nicer folks over on Instagram, right?
That is true.
Hey, I love you both. I'm super grateful for you, and this is going to be awesome and encourage so many people. So I appreciate your time.
Of course. Anytime for you, Courtney.
Thanks, Fred.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media over at Pardon the Mess or christianparenting_org. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
Saving money on exterior wall lights now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com. Save.